You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Craig Burley. A little later on in the programme, Jurgen Klinsmann will be here to reflect on Bayern Munich's 3-2 victory over Borussia Dortmund. We'll start, though, in the Premier League. Big win for Chelsea today, moving them up the table after defeating Sheffield United by 4-1. They moved to third. Crystal Palace up to seventh after they beat Leeds 4-1. Manchester United still not in the top 10, but a big win for them, 3-1 away against Everton at Goodison. Okay, let's welcome Jan-Arne Fjørtoft to the show. Jan, this rollercoaster ride that Manchester United fans continue to go on with Ollie at the wheel continues today. Once again, at the point where everyone's starting to question whether or not he's the right man, his team back him up and get a result.
Yeah, it was only one big guy who got fired today, and he was American. The Norwegian still in there.
Right, Jan, football, Jan. Focus.
Focus.
But it's true. It's true that Ole Gunnar has shown so many times when they are nearly there, nearly all the pressure on him. Maybe it's the players. Maybe the players need to be everything being on Solskjaer, meaning him he's going out. But today as well, 1-0 down, and they still managed to come back. A great, great goal, the equalizer from Bruno Fernandes. A great header, as we'll see here. Good header. And the next one, then another Fernandes goal where Rashford, I don't think he touched that ball, and Fernandes got that goal. And I think we saw, Craig, you would probably say no, but I think after the game, we saw another Ole Gunnar Solskjaer hammering people, telling the FA is wrong to put us on an early kickoff on Saturday. Maybe we'll see an angry and furious Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going forward. And then we saw Cavani coming on. What Cavani doing an old goal-getter trick, give the keeper the eye, try to get it in the longest corner, score in the short corner. Typical goal-getter goal, and a very, very vital win for Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, he learned off the best, didn't he? Solskjaer Ferguson. Because he could bash the authorities.
He's got a way to go till he reaches that level.
There was reports in the British press that if he'd lost at Goodison, he was going to get sacked. I don't know if that was true or not, but certainly he was on the edge. And Jan's right. And I said to you on the show, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it was, I said, they'll probably get a result because that's what they've done. And Jan touched on it. They've done it in the times of need. When it seems the manager is under the most pressure, they've managed to go away from home or do whatever it is and get a result. So I'm not surprised Manchester United got a win today. It was a big win for them, huge win for them. They're still in the bottom half of the table, but it was a huge win for them. It's a huge win for the coach. But it doesn't take away the long-term questions. It just sort of quells it for a short-term basis.
But they look good today. They were the better team, deserving the victory.
Yeah, Bruno, I agree. But all week you were chirping on about consistency.
Right.
When we talked about United, you kept saying to me and others, but it's consistency. And that's the problem. If United are consistent, I'm stating the obvious, he's not going to be under pressure. But they haven't been. It's been so many peaks and troughs that this keeps the wolves from the doors at the moment. But we could be having this discussion in 2 weeks' time after the international break again with Manchester United. So who knows? I think eventually it will crumble for them, but I think as long as they can eke out enough results, Ed Woodward and the board won't make any rash decisions.
Yeah, and what was the key today for them looking so good?
Well, I think there was something in that team performance that I wanted to kind of revenge that performance midweek. I think that the way they're going forward is speed. They had more the ball, more possession today. When we saw against RB Leipzig, they couldn't get hold of the ball. And I think that we discussed that enough last week. You saw them being better on that one today. And Luke Shaw, I think, did he have two, at least one great assist or two assists now over the last game? But I think, again, Bruno Fernandes is the key. He is that guy who makes the tempo in the team. He's the one with the confidence in there. And I think sometimes we forget on this level how important it is to have confidence. And I tweeted before the game today, I think we can criticize Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for a lot of things, but he will never surrender. He will never be putting the panic bottom on. You always think that he will be on the same line, on the same temperament in and before the game. And I think that doesn't stress his players. And I think that's one of the reasons when they're always coming back from bad losses, because I don't think his management, call it bad, good or bad, but I don't think that will change a lot in the dressing room. That could be a weakness and that could be a strength as a manager.
You know, the one thing I would say about Solskjaer is, in all fairness to him, and I don't think he's the greatest man. Of course, I've made my feelings clear, but he's not frightened to make decisions.
Yeah, with Pogba on the bench, obviously.
But he's not frightened. He's nobody's fool in that sense. He's not frightened. He'll leave anybody out if he thinks he's going to get a result. I'm looked at that United side again, and he got it right with his selection today. But if I'm Paul Pogba, with that talent and that responsibility, with the price tag and the salary, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I can't get into... Fred and McTominay ahead of you. Now, I know they're slightly more defensive players, and Jan and I touched on this last week, that gives the back line a little bit more protection. But then you've got, you know, Fernandes had a quiet couple of weeks, but he's back on song today. But Juan Mata's, he's two steps away from picking up his pension. Do you know what I'm saying? And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't feel he can put in one of the biggest, inverted commas, talents in European football. I mean, that's embarrassing that Paul Pogba cannot hold down a regular place in that Manchester United side. And it's not for lack of ability, because he's got as much ability as anybody. So that's telling you it's something else. It's desire, it's attitude. It has to be, Jan.
And I'm just thinking that Ole Gunnar, in these kind of situations now, he's come to terms with that his main thing is to get the best out of Manchester United and not the best out of Paul Pogba. Yep. I think that's a difference now. If Paul Pogba is not good enough, is he not finding his position in the team? Well, he's got to sit on the bench. It's quite easy.
It's quite easy, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why it's embarrassing, because it's an easy decision for Solskjaer. With Pogba knocks on his door, and as you would as a player, Jan and I have both have done it. Hey, why am I not playing? Because you're not doing the job for me.
Right.
That's why you're not playing. And I've got other players when I put them on the field, they've got more chance of saving my job. And that's why you're on the bench. And I go back to my point. That's why if I had that level of, and I had nowhere near his level of talent, if I had his level of talent, I'd be looking at myself in the mirror and I'd be saying, why am I on the bench in this very average Man United side?
Jan, I had a bet with someone that Everton would finish top five. Since then, they've lost three in a row. What's happened?
I think they believe in the press. I think they believe that all the new signings were good, and they are good, but it just shows you it takes time to glue a team. It takes time. At the beginning of a season, you can get some good results. You get it in there, Everton competing with different teams who had different kind of pre-season, a bit lottery at the beginning, but Everton can be up there. There's a lot of teams who can be top four, top five this season, because it's still a funny season. And Crystal Palace coming up there. And you see in Germany, Union Berlin is now fourth position in the Bundesliga. So anything can happen this season.
Do you know, I like Ancelotti as a manager.
I'm sure he's pleased to hear that.
He's a friend of Gav Marcotti, obviously. And he clearly seems to me as if he's a guy that the players love playing for. He's an old school manager, players guy, I would say, rather than, you know, somebody who's into, I might be wrong, but coaching till the cows come home. But his decision with Jordan Pickford over the last 7 to 10 days has baffled me. He left him out at Newcastle and brought Robin Olsen in, who they signed on loan, I think it was from Roma, and then said to the press and said to Pickford that you'll be back in next week.
Yeah.
Now, I know Pickford's had his critics and he hasn't been at his best. Well, leave him out and just leave him out. But he's left him out 1 week told him he'd be back playing the next week. Then that's just confusing. And I'm not saying that's the reason they've lost three in a row, but when you look at managers making decisions, you think, what was the point in that? You either keep him in the side or you take him out and you put Robin Olsen in for, you know, a dozen games, whatever it is. So that's just baffling to me. But yeah, good win for Man United. Everton did sign some good players with Allen and Doucouré and Rodriguez and so on, but they were never going to be good enough to be. So I don't know where you got that idea that they were going to be in the top four. Did you say
top five?
Top five.
Top five.
That's almost as bad as Don Hutchinson's West Ham.
Marathon on a sprint. I thought they're not in Europe. They can rest more. Yeah.
The trouble is when you think that's when things go.
Yeah, I know exactly.
When things go wrong.
Meanwhile, Chelsea with a good result today. They 1-0 down against Sheffield United, but they would pull it back to win convincingly by 4-1. If you're a Chelsea fan, you're happy with a lot you've seen today, particularly with Hakim Ziyech. We knew he's a good player. We knew he was a good addition.
The only one not happy with this result is Frank Leboeuf. We know that after last week when he moaned and groaned about Chelsea's performance at Burnley, which I thought was excellent. But it seems Lampard has started to find the right balance for all these new pieces of the puzzle. And Abraham through the middle, Werner playing a little bit wider rather than through the middle. Ziyech, you mentioned on the other side, has looked great. And Thiago Silva, into marshal that back line alongside.
And then Timo Werner doing that as well. That's exactly what you kind of want. It's right, good. Ticking the boxes. The piece of the puzzle's just starting to come together.
Well, I wondered if he thought about playing Timo Werner more through the middle with Pulisic when he's fit on one side and Ziyech or whoever on the other. But I think Frank's maybe having a rethink and think, well, yeah, RB Leipzig, he played more off the left and he was more effective and he's got more freedom to move and make those runs. And as I say, ultimately, you know, Lampard's learning as he goes along here with what he's got. But Chelsea, all of a sudden, look more of a balanced side.
Yeah, no Kai Havertz, obviously no Pulisic either for this one, Jan. But just the case, nice performance, everybody getting a goal, everybody's happy.
I'm not happy. I'm a Sheffield United fan. So
no,
I will never
you
be
need
happy.
To be objective, Jan. Come on.
I tried to be objective. I saw that Sheffield United were 1-0 up. It's always a good thing to then come back. But I agree with Craig. Yeah, success of a team is all about balance, and some way they've found it now. And it's interesting what you're saying about Werner, because he can play in so many different positions. We saw RB Leipzig today, and their win against Freiburg, they're winning, but still they're so missing his way playing so many different positions. You don't know where he's coming. He can come from right, he can come from left, he can come deep, he can play up front as a striker. And with Abraham and all the other Ziyech and all the people they have around them, it's all about finding a balance in midfield and stop conceding goals. And it seems now that Frank Lampard slowly, not only finding his team, but finding the way, the balance and how they're going to do it defensively and offensively. That is the key thing for Frank Lampard's Chelsea.
A bit worrying for Sheffield United, though.
I don't want a deep dive in Sheffield United.
I'm presuming the bulk of our audience are not Sheffield United supporters. But
we've
got
a lot to talk about.
Well, I'm a bit worried when you can have such a good season last year and potentially go down this year. That's all I'm saying.
The big game, of course, on Sunday in the Premier League. Liverpool taking on Manchester City. We know how key this tie has been over the years as to defining who will end up as the champion. Manchester City are favourites going into this game. Evens Liverpool at 12-5. Does that surprise you? It surprises me. With my great betting knowledge, clearly.
Well, maybe the performance of Liverpool away at Atalanta has just changed that. But I presume Man City will be slightly more organised than the Atalanta. I mean, although City have had their own issues defensively over the last season or two, the Atalanta defence just completely capitulated and Liverpool were excellent. So that was a big performance. But yeah, this is, you know, if we talk about today in the big Dortmund-Bayer game, putting a marker down for Dortmund. Even though Man City have had great success over the last three or four years, this is still a marker game for me. Because most people, I had City to win the league this year, not changing. But most people had Liverpool again. Mm-hmm. And this is a marker game for them because Liverpool haven't been at their best. It's at the Etihad and City need a big performance. I mean, they've played well in recent weeks, but they haven't dispatched teams. It's like Sheffield United the other week.
You talk about it's at the Etihad. Does it matter?
Well, I don't know how much difference it makes now without the supporters. I mean, in terms of your performance, Yeah, I still think it matters. It's, for some reason, it's a mindset of playing your home ground and your own pitch. So it does matter. And I worry about the Liverpool. I know Stevie doesn't quite as much, but I worry about the Liverpool centre-half pairing that's going to be out there. Right. I really do. Joe Gomez, unless Matip plays, he was on the bench in midweek in Bergamo, but unless he plays, it's probably going to be Gomez and Phillips. And that's okay playing against Sheffield United and West Ham, as they did with those big physical guys. But we're talking about playing against some of the best movement in European football with Man City. And I think that's going to be the big difference and why City will probably win.
You're going for a City win. Jan, what do you think?
Well, I've done these games, Pep Guardiola against Jurgen Klopp. I think that will also be a mind game, what kind of plan, how they will set their team up. And what is interesting when these two coaches play against each other, because Pep Guardiola would come with his pen A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. And Klopp will come with A in your face. And I mean, I think that surprised sometimes Guardiola. It feels like that he has something. He's so afraid of Jurgen Klopp when he just see this big German walking his way. And when he just come into the stadium, he's 1-0 down. So I think this will also be a mind game coming in there. I agree on the things that's been said about the centre-half pairing. I think that it's too early to say that they have solved that problem after the world's best defender is out there. So that could be a major thing. But when you see Jota, when you see all the different potential matches there are at Liverpool, I think this will be a great football game also to watch. And it's an early doors to say that the team that will win this. But I don't think the Manchester City would can afford to lose that kind of game, because it's advantage Liverpool. They are the reigning champion, and a lot of people have them as favourite also this season.
Jan doesn't know the rest of the alphabet. That's why he stopped at G.
Did Jan give us a prediction?
He said City's going to win and Liverpool.
What's the prediction, Jan?
I will give you a prediction. Liverpool win.
Liverpool win. Jan Arfjordtoff, thank you very much. We'll, of course, be looking back at that game on the next edition of ESPN FC. As always, I'm sure it will give us plenty to talk about. You can join us 7 days a week. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
They huffed and the puff, but in the end, Borussia Dortmund couldn't get it done. Bayern Munich with a 3-2 victory in the big game in Germany today. Marco Reus gave the hosts the lead in what looked like to be the last action of the first half. But then late on, just before the break, Alaba's deflected free kick made it 1-1. Lewandowski then made it 2-1. Beautiful counter-attack from Sané would make it 3-1. Erling Haaland would get one back to make an exciting end to the game. But in the end, a miss from Reus at the end would give Bayern Munich all 3 points. Jürgen Klinsmann with us. Jürgen, this is all about one side taking their chances, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Dortmund had enough chances to win actually this game, but they were not clinical enough. And this is what Bayern is all about. When you give Bayern Munich a couple of chances, especially a guy like Lewandowski or Leroy Sané coming in, he just needs one chance and he decides the game. It's a pity for Borussia Dortmund. I think when they sit now in their locker rooms and they look at each other and say, you know, we missed a huge opportunity here. We had a game, you know, we had the possibility to beat them actually today. But in order to beat Bayern Munich, you need to be more convinced of yourself. You need to have more confidence, more killer instinct. And I think the missed opportunity by Marco Reus, he says it all, you know. This is a player that has all capabilities to put that in the back of the net, but he didn't do it. And in a moment like that, you got to step up and you have to finish it off, and then it would have been at least a positive result for Borussia Dortmund. But huge credit to Bayern Munich. I mean, it was overall a fantastic game, very entertaining, and they deserved the win.
Yeah, it was a great game overall.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it was a great advert once again for German football.
Sure.
You know, because it was the two best teams. Well, you know, some may argue with that, but certainly Bayern are the best team in Germany. Going head-to-head, and I completely agree with Jürgen. For me, it was a missed opportunity. And we said at half-time, and I spoke about half-time, and it's the most important thing, and it's sometimes it comes with experience, is making the correct decisions in the final third. You know, making the right decision with the right pace on the ball, picking the right pass out. And that was the downfall of Dortmund today because, you know, what was it? That Sancho run inside in 46 or the 47th minute. Lovely little reverse pass for the Haaland run. And he had time.
Yeah.
And he hurriedly almost shanked it across the six-yard box when he had two yellow jerseys in there. And then 2 minutes later, Bayern go up the other end and score. It's the difference between the side is Bayern Munich are clinical. And Dortmund, for all their good play, and they, you know, some of their play was excellent, they just couldn't quite cut the mustard in the final third. And Marco Reus, of all people, I mean, he's one of the most experienced players in the Dortmund side. He side-footed his first goal in, or his only goal, was a great finish. And yet here, this one dropped to him. And I'm not saying it was easy, because when a ball's coming in like that, it's not easy. But that's why you have to take a wee bit more care of it. And he tried to absolutely take the leather off the ball when it really needed just a good contact. Keep it down. The chances are Manuel Neuer wouldn't have saved it.
And, of course, it helps as well, Jürgen, when you can bring off the bench someone like Leroy Sané.
Yeah, and this speaks kind of for Bayern Munich, that they have players on the bench. They're difference makers. They're difference makers. You bring them on and they put their stamp on the game and they have the confidence, they have the technical capabilities, they have the speed. And Leroy Sané, surprisingly, was left on the bench today. But then when he comes on, he just makes a difference. And he puts the ball in the net and knows exactly what he's doing. And, they have so much quality in their roster. They have so much class. And it's to admire.
Experience as well. You know, bring on Javi Martinez, who played last week, I think, in Cologne, but doesn't get around the field anymore, where he can play midfield and he can play centre-back. You know, he can come in and do a job. Tolisso's a French international. Sané comes, you know, the signing of this summer from Manchester City. You know, we know what talent he brings. So they clearly have the best squad in Germany, but I quite like, although they haven't got the same experience, I quite like the Dortmund bench.
Yeah.
Young Bellingham come on.
Bellingham came on, did well.
Got them on the front foot. You know, Brandt comes on, experienced player. They can make, Hazard comes on. So not quite the same quality, but it was substitutions that were able to get Dortmund, because there was a period in that second half Dortmund ran out of ideas.
Yeah.
They looked a little flat. And then, in all fairness, Lucien Favre made the substitutions. And then they got on the front foot again and they started putting the Bayern back four under pressure. They started creating chances again. We saw the chance from Reina just before he went off. We saw the chance from Reus. And there was a couple of others. So it was there for them to get a result today. Maybe not a win, but a result. But ultimately, the difference is a half-decent ball into the box and Lewandowski gets across Mats Hummels and there's no pace on the cross whatsoever. Mm. And he still manages to nestle that ball in that far corner. That's the difference.
Steve Tarrandolo with us as well. Steve, how are you feeling if you're in that Borussia Dortmund locker room right now?
Well, you're disappointed because the effort you put into games like this, either you win or you lose, is the same. And I think they were from from box to box, they were just as good as Bayern Munich tonight, and they could have easily won this game. As both Craig and Jurgen correctly pointed out, the difference is just being effective, not only in the opponent's box, but in your own box as well. I think that's where the difference is. These Bayern defenders are just what it needs to be in their own box, better and more effective and consequential. And Dortmund, on the other hand, were a little lackadaisy when we see that last goal from Sané. I don't think Mats Hummels needs to come out and make that challenge. All he has to do is just take the wins out of the sails of that counterattack, and this game is still very close. That's the difference to me, and I think to sum it up, just disappointed, and you got to shake it off because you have a game this week as well.
Jurgen, it's interesting. People obviously questioning whether or not Lucien Favre is the right man to take Dortmund forward. Yet you take a look at how things were set up today and how his team performed. It's very difficult, isn't it, to be critical of the coach?
No, from an overall point of view, they played a good game and they had their chances. They didn't use their chances, so they were not determined enough to score their goals and come off with a positive result. Lucien Favre is a different type of a manager than definitely, you know, Thomas Tuchel was before, or especially Jurgen Klopp was before. So that's why he often gets compared to these two guys. And sometimes the people say they would like to see a little bit more higher level of determination and aggressiveness and an emotional side of him on the bench. But he has his own style. He's a very, very knowledgeable and very good coach. At the end of the day, obviously, you know, the results need to be there, and they're dreaming in Dortmund of since years now, winning another championship and getting some trophies. But he's doing a tremendous good job. But what's lacking right now is a little bit this piece of, I would call it, you know, nastiness and determination in games like this to say, you know what, we might not beat Bayern today, but at least we get off with a tie. We're not losing against Bayern today. And so as Steve said rightfully, you know, you sit then in a locker room empty-handed. You played okay, but 0 points. And that's frustrating. Frustrating because over the stretch of 34 games in the German Bundesliga, you need to have confidence. You need to have, you know, something to build on. And now there is there's a missing piece of confidence now going forward, saying, okay, maybe not even this year, you know, we can beat them.
David Alaba and his contract situation was a big talking point going into this game, wasn't it, Jurgen? Obviously, now with the injury to Kimmich and the fact that he was such a key player in this victory, it does make you think what's going to happen with that situation going forward.
Well, I don't see a problem, to be honest, with David Alaba. He will sooner or later, you know, prolong his contract. These type of discussions at Bayern Munich is just very normal. They are not losing any sleep over a contract situation of a player. They will sit down with him, with his agent, and they will sort things out. So I expect him to stay on board for quite a long time.
Shouldn't be a big issue. I mean, every player tries to get the best what they can for themselves, but there's not many better places to be than playing for Bayern Munich.
And what's interesting is that every other team has stuttered. Every other big team, I think it's fair to say, right across the board, has stuttered some way or another. Bayern haven't. You point to the Hoffenheim game, and that's pretty much an anomaly. But since everything has come back since the lockdown, Bayern have been the best consistently, week in, week out. Why? Why have they managed to do it when Liverpool, Juventus, PSG, whoever you point at, haven't put in that sort of performances?
I think, you know, one is down to the playing staff, and two, a big tipping of the cat to the manager.
Yeah.
Because he's been the biggest surprise. Because we knew they had good players, but they bring Hansi Flick in as an interim manager at the time, and he arguably made the biggest difference because the players respected him, and he gave them more freedom, and he got Thomas Müller back on board, which was hugely important because he was having a troubled time, wasn't in the starting lineup for most of the time under Kovac at the end. And so I think he just realised, and he understood his dressing room, that, you know, I've got these guys and I can't rule with an iron fist because you know, I've got to give these guys a platform. So he's been a huge difference. And then the desire of the players just to go out and be as successful, if not more successful than they were last year. That's what drives these top players. So from that, and of course they bring in Leroy Sané, and that's another good option to have. They've had a phase over the last 2 or 3 years of getting the older guys out. You know, the Robins and the Ribéry's, and bringing the younger kids in. They're going to have to do the same with Müller and Lewandowski at some point. We're not quite there yet, but that's coming around the corner. So it's been a very, very good transition. You know, you go back to... There's only one thing you know as a coach. You're going to be sacked at some point.
Yeah.
Right, probably. And I think from Lucien Favre's point of view, I mean, he's nowhere near that at the moment, of course. But they can take a lot away from this game. Yeah, when you lose a game as big as this, you're disappointed. But when you go away and look at it, say, you know, if we're more clinical, if we make better decisions, we created the chances. We caused them enough problems to win this game. Let's go away and learn from it. But from his perspective and the board's perspective, if you're giving a coach a squad with kids of this age, it's difficult to expect to be going out and challenging Bayern Munich every year and winning championships. Not with guys in your team that are 17, 18, 19, 20, who are learning the game effectively. The Reyners and you know, before that it was Pulisic and Jadon Sancho and Erling Haaland. They're great young players, but they're still learning the game. The Bayern guys are not learning the game. They're just learning to how to keep being successful and drive themselves on. That's the difference.
Well, let's get some reaction now from Germany, shall we? Arjen Tutt caught up with Erling Haaland and Gio Reyna.
Erling Haaland, Gio Reyna, a difficult day for Borussia Dortmund. What was ultimately lacking to begin with, Erling?
Yeah, if you ask me personally, I have to score on the chances. Then we would have won. So yeah.
Gio, how do you see the game?
It's not only him, but we had other chances. But yeah, I don't really think they outplayed us. But yeah, we were good on the counter. We had some good chances in the first and second half. And, you know, if we put one or two away, it's, you know, a much different game. So
you must feel, though, as a team, that you're on at least a very similar level to Bayern, because there wasn't much in it today at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. We have to beat them first to, you know, to say that. They won the Champions League last year. They're, you know, still, obviously, I think the best team in the world. So yeah, it's not that much that separates us. But, you know, like Erling said before, we just need the final push. And, you know, I think in the coming months, if we work hard, we can get it. So
Erling, a very frustrating day for you. I can see that in terms of how you are right now. What do you think it takes in terms of to come out better of those decisive moments?
Yeah, if you ask me personally, I have to score, as I said. And yeah, it's about to get the last presents out of me and the whole team. Then we will be on the same level as Bayern. But right now we're not. So Bayern is a better team and the best team in the world. So yeah, that's how it is.
Just finally, where did Dortmund go from here?
Me personally will go to national team, and after that one I will focus on the next game to win, try to win every game before Christmas.
Gio, Erling, thank you very much for your time.
Well, the body language of the Dortmund players, I'm sure, resembling those of the Dortmund fans around the world. Erling Haaland making it 11 goals in 11 games with that strike today. Jürgen, with regards to that first half performance that we saw from Erling Haaland, not taking the chances that maybe we're used to him seeing take?
You know what, I mean, Erling Haaland is exceptional, you know, and very decisive, obviously, you know, scoring goals on a regular base there, you know, he's a machine, 20 years old. Now, Giovanni Reyna, 17 years old, you know, and already a difference maker. But the huge difference to Bayern Munich is here, you know, that at Bayern Munich, the old guy is still running the show. No, it's Boateng, Emmanuel Neuer, you know, it's Thomas Müller and Lewandowski. So that's the skeleton of this team. And the younger ones, like Leroy Sané or Gnabry or other younger ones, they can grow in that system and they can obviously score. They can, you know, have good games. You can come off the bench here and there. But the problem that Dortmund has is that their youngsters are the ones that already need to run the show, And there's something wrong, because it shouldn't be Giovanni Reina that has to score that one chance that he has in the second half, or every chance that falls into Haaland, he has to score. No, there should be, in a day like today, it should be Marco Reus putting that ball in the net, you know, with the volley that he unfortunately didn't do. So I think, you know, it's really important still to let these players grow, and not putting them already into a position of responsibility to carry a team on their shoulders. And carrying the team on their shoulders should be still the experienced one. And there might be just not the right mix of that at Borussia Dortmund at the moment.
Steve Joe Rayner, of course, turning 18 next week. How would you assess his performance today?
I thought that's
very positive. Sorry.
Very much what we saw of Gio up until now, and I think he was bright. His movement was good. He had a few key passes in the final third for his partner in crime, Erling. And there was a lot of that again. So he's still on the right track. He's still effective. And I think, for him moving forward, it just has to be more of the same. What I would like to see more of him is maybe some deeper runs and trying to get back behind the back lines of defenses by himself and getting on the scoring chart.
It's true, Jurgen said, regarding the spine of this Bayern side, who've been there, done it, won everything.
Spine of every team.
It's incredible, isn't it? And then we're assessing these youngsters and trying to compare them. It's tricky. Not that you're giving Dortmund a pass, but this is Bayern. This is a team that would beat anyone at the moment.
You look at all the teams. Whenever I played, you looked at your centre-backs, your central midfield, your goalkeeper, your strikers, and then you sort of filled in around it. You look at Liverpool with Alisson and Van Dijk and Fabinho, and then, up front, they've got that front three. Man City, similar, Bayern Munich. But I thought those young boys were very harsh on themselves. I know doing media duties is difficult sometimes, particularly after defeats, but I thought they were, Erling Haaland looked as if he had the weight of the world on his shoulders there in terms of the chances that he missed. He didn't miss that many chances. A couple of them were actually from wider positions. So he's frustrated, but I'm loath to criticise, and I wouldn't do it, kids of that age, particularly 17-year-olds, playing in such big stages on these platforms. I thought they did fine. I just thought the difference was the experience and the ability to be clinical in the final third. And that's the difference. And as Jurgen said, it's a learning process for these youngsters. They're on a learning process for the rest of their career. The Bayern Munich guys they're World Cup winners.
Right.
I mean, that's the difference. And so it's difficult from a coach's perspective to expect these guys to perform at the level that Bayern are performing in the big games all the time, because they're learning the game effectively. As good as they are learning the game.
Jurgen, just overall, there is that nagging concern, isn't there, from fans of the Bundesliga that we're going to see Bayern Munich do it again?
Yeah, I mean, that is a concern. We don't want them to run away too early here. I mean, you hope that Dortmund and Leipzig, give them a real fight, throughout the entire season. It would be sad to see Bayern, being up there already by 10 points, by the end of the first part of the season. That would be not very exciting. I think that's what Leipzig is trying to do. They're trying to keep up. Dortmund's trying to keep up. But obviously today we saw just the quality that Bayern Munich has, the determination they have. They're just willed to go in their own pace, to go in their own rhythm. And it's difficult to stop them.
It's tricky, isn't it, Steve? Because Bayern would win any league at the moment.
I agree. I think, it's the difference in their business models. Bayern buys players to win championships. Borussia Dortmund buys players to improve and to sell off for more. And I think that's always something going against Dortmund and against the rest of the Bundesliga for that. And I think, I think Bayern, it's theirs to take this year. But their squad is a bit thinner than it has been in the past couple of years. They have some firepower off the bench, but it is thinner. So if they do not remain healthy, then I do think there's a chance for a Dortmund or even a Leipzig to pull through in the end.
But it's no surprise. The biggest, baddest, richest team is the best.
You're right, though. I never thought about it that way. They would, and people would argue, but they would win pretty much every league in
they
Europe.
They would win every league. I don't think it's even a debate.
No, well, some people would like to debate.
Well, of course.
I think just for sheer, not only quality, but I think sheer consistency. And we've seen that with other teams in the Premier League and La Liga in particular, the Serie A. So they are the strongest team, but it still needs other people to stand up and make a challenge. And I do think Dortmund and Leipzig, particularly Dortmund, can put a string of results together.
Right.
But the only way I see one of them winning the league is if they get enough points ahead and Bayern drop some points here and there against the other teams, because they don't look like they've got the mental capabilities to beat them in a head-to-head. So they're going to have to hope that Bayern slip up against the others and they can put a run together. But I think it'll be tight, but ultimately I think Bayern will win the league again. I mean, Dortmund got what they wanted this summer in some sense, in terms of they thought they weren't going to have Jadon Sancho.
Yes.
You know, he's a big part of their armoury going forward. He's 20 years old now. He's the most experienced of that front three, even at 20. But Dortmund probably thought he was going to be playing for Manchester United this year, so they held on to him. That's one thing they can be positive about. Brought Munir in as an experienced fullback. They keep Hummels fit at the back. They've got a few combinations they can put in the middle of the park. But they're very heavily reliant on a young 20-year-old striker to be able to play a whole season and carry the team.
What would you say to me if I said to you, Borussia Dortmund have got a better chance of winning the Champions League than the Bundesliga?
I would be wondering what's going through that mind of yours.
Well, because, obviously, one-off matches, Bayern Munich could get knocked out on the other side of the bracket or something like that. Borussia Dortmund, we know they're a good team. So on their day, you know, they can fight with anybody. So over a
cup situation... I know what you're saying, it's a cup competition. Yeah.
Exactly.
Arguably, yeah. If the other teams are inconsistent, like we've seen from Liverpool, and we know City have got defensive issues, we know Barcelona have got problems... I mean, it's a big ask.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, over the course of a German domestic Bundesliga season, you've got to have a good squad. Yeah. And I actually thought, when I looked at the bench today, I thought, well, yeah, they've got young players, but they've actually got some good players to come off the bench. So, barring a spate of injuries, I don't see any reason why they can't keep pressure on Bayern.
Right.
Over the course of a season, but they're going to have to figure out a way to get the results in the head-to-heads.
Focusing a little bit on the Champions League, Jürgen, obviously they lost to Lazio in the group stages, knocked out by PSG in the round of 16 last time out. How far do you think they can go in the Champions League, Borussia Dortmund?
Oh, they definitely have a roster that can go far. I would say they can go into the quarterfinals for sure. But the big question is, you know, how much belief do they have, you know, going that far? And also, how much belief do they have, you know, competing with Bayern for the title? And it's a bit kind of sad to see, you know, when Haaland and Giovanni rightfully said, you know, admitted, you know, well, we kind of played against Bayern Munich, the best team in the world right now. And kind of it says it all. When you kind of have in the back of your mind that your opponent is superior or is the best team right now, then it's difficult to build that mental strength, that mental belief that they can do it, that you can make it, that you can beat, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus Turin, or Manchester City, or other teams like that. It's something that definitely is a huge challenge for Borussia Dortmund with that roster that they have at the moment, to build this level of confidence that carries you to the last eight in Europe. It's a huge challenge for them.
But Jürgen, could you not flip that almost? You could almost take some solace from that. The boys obviously coming out and saying we lost to the best team in the world, but we got close. So when it comes to taking on a Barcelona or a Liverpool or whatever it may be, you can say, right, we got close to Bayern, who are head and shoulders above everyone else. Let's go into these games with more confidence than maybe we could have done before.
No, because you lost the game. So at the end of the day, this will cost you confidence. Maybe not in the first 5 minutes after the game when you have to do an interview as a player. But in the upcoming days, you just realize, well, we lost it. We lost it again against this very special team, Bayern Munich. But over time, you need to really have a series of games that you win against big opponents to build that confidence level. And this is what Bayern Munich did over decades, you know, to make sure that we win the big ones in order to have that kind of very large chest and say, you know, whoever comes across, you know, we're gonna beat them. So this is a belief that is a cultural part of a club, is a national team or a club that is so important. And even if you have the feeling right after the game, okay, we were close, it's not gonna give you any additional confidence over the next couple of weeks.
Steve, what do you think?
I agree. I think there's some belief there, and I think it's you know, this is not just the first time they lost to Bayern Munich. This is the third season in a row where I feel, and most of Germany feels, like Dortmund has a real shot at winning the title. And again, they went head to toe to toe with Bayern, but they came up on the short end with the short end of the stick again. So, and one other thing I would like to talk about or mention is when you have a young team like Dortmund has, one of the big confidence givers of this club has always been the fans. And because of COVID, the fans have been taken out of this wonderful game for Dortmund, and it's really taken a bite out of their offense as well as their defense.
We'll see. Hey, we did well. What was that, an hour? I think we've done this show without somebody breaking up.
Oh, well, Steve needs to pay a bit more for his internet, I think it is. But no, you know, I think to Jorgen's point, this game today, I mean, the title race is long. It's a marathon, right? So the 3 points is not going to make a big difference at the moment. But from a playing perspective, it sets a marker down.
Right.
You know, because that's what, certainly it's 5 defeats in the last 6. At least to Bayern Munich, might be more than that if I was looking back, I don't know. But it sets a marker down as a player. So when you come back in to the training ground tomorrow morning or Monday, whatever it is, you've got that bounce in your step where you've got the job done with young guys, with guys learning the game, and you've beaten Bayern. And you've given yourself that confidence that when you meet the next time, you know how to figure it out and you can do it. But again, this just knocks them back a little bit in terms of the belief that they can and are good enough and can get there. And I think always with these big games, it's about, one, it's about putting a marker down, which again, Bayern have today. And two, it's about, if you do get beat, is how do you bounce back?
Right.
Because that's the most important thing for Dortmund now. They bounce back, they start putting a string of consecutive victories together, they rebuild their confidence, and when the big games in Germany come up again, they go again. And they're going to have to try and figure it out. But let's be honest, Bayern are not an easy team to figure out at the moment.
No, indeed. We'll say thank you very much to Steve and Jürgen for their insight. Just a reminder, the Bundesliga continues this weekend. The Bundesliga, of course, here on ESPN this season. It's a doubleheader for you as Wolfsburg take on Hoffenheim and it's Bayer Leverkusen against Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, that's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Thank you to Craig as well. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Craig's staying with me. Jan with us as well to answer your tweets. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions.
If I was a betting man, I would say the first question is a Manchester United. And I don't know this. I would say the first one's a Man United question.
How much would you like to bet on that?
No. Just...
Well, you're wrong. Oh. Jan, what's your reaction to the way Dortmund played today? Do you guys think they lack confidence, especially Sancho, who I found missing for most part of the game?
Yes, it's been a bad season start for Sancho, and you didn't see him today. Do they lack confidence now? They created a lot of chances. We made an interview just after the day with Haaland, and he said I should have scored 4 or 5, and then we would have won the game. But you always had a feeling with Bayern Munich, they are the best team in the world at the moment. They always have another gear. They can always do it when they need to. For me, the headline of the game today was typical. It was typical when Dortmund was 1-0 up that Alaba would then score before halftime, and it was typical that Lewandowski is scoring without needing space to score a goal. That goal he scored, Da Vinci couldn't have drawn that goal. It was just unbelievable what he did.
120 million, Jadon Sancho, isn't it? That's the price tag. I know you can't judge him on one game, and we've seen a lot of him, but it has not been a 120 million sort of performance so far this season.
No, and maybe the transfer affected him.
Jan is, of course, at the heart of that transfer.
Jan never mentioned it for months. Jan went months.
Jan's got Manchester United fans still angry
about it. Jadon Sancho. Look, just in the start of the second half, with that lovely little run inside and beautiful little ball with the outside of the boot for Erling Haaland, who made a bad decision in terms of throwing the ball across the 6-yard box. I thought Haaland was a bit harsh on himself. He had 1 or 2 good chances. I wouldn't say 4 or 5. There was some chances for others. But yeah, you never know with a player when a move doesn't happen, particularly one that's been talked about for so long. You just never know what the mindset is, but we haven't quite seen the best of him.
Yeah, and you've got so many sources inside that Dortmund camp. Mentally, is he OK? Did it affect him, all your tweets about him going or not going?
Well, no, it's not my fault that he didn't go to Manchester United. It's not my fault that he is doing bad at but I think that sometimes you should stop and think that you are the main thing for football mad England. You want to stay. You have Manchester United on the phone. You have your agents on the phone. That is a tough thing to do. And I'm not saying that is the only thing. I'm not think that he's found out, because being clever, going forward with speed, taking on people, that will never go out of fashion. But what we see at the moment is not there is some, like Craig said, there is sometimes he's doing it, some games he's been doing have some great assists for Haaland. But at the moment, he doesn't play like the Sancho we saw last season, that's for sure.
Jan, will Bayern Munich ever not win the Bundesliga?
No, they will always, for the rest of our life, win the Bundesliga. But at the moment, I think that the only thing that can beat Bayern is there's something wrong with the appointment of a coach, that they have a bit quarrel, that they are fighting in the team, that they have too many old players, that they just have one way to play. And at the moment, they got everything. I mean, yeah. there was some counter-attacks today of Bayern did. If another team did that, we would highlight them as the best counter-attacks in the world. But there are so many things that you can highlight of the game of them. Look at the crossing of the ball. They're crossing fantastically. If you see Dortmund today, they have 1 or 2 crosses the whole game. So Bayern Munich is so much ahead of the other teams. So I will declare Bayern Munich winner of the Bundesliga 2020-2021.
Stick your neck out there, yeah. Which current or former player remind you of Haaland, Jan? He was phenomenal today.
It's a good question, because if you see Robert Lewandowski, it's easy to say that he looks like Marco van Basten, in my opinion. But it's hard to say that. Which one does he remind you of? A strong, bully striker who's doing his stuff? You have to help me out here, Craig. Who do you think? Help me out.
Yeah, not sure.
I'm sure you're pleased you got that back.
thanks, Jan. I said all along, I mean, you know, he's a guy who can do a little bit of everything. He was so disappointed with his performance. But I don't think he played badly. He was disappointed with his finishing today.
Yeah.
That was the difference. But he's got a little bit of everything, but he's still learning. He's still young.
And Dortmund can't seem to steal a result against Bayern for their lives. Was there ever a time the boys couldn't manage a win against a particular team, no matter how hard they tried? That was most teams for you, wasn't it, yeah?
Exactly, you took my answer away. That was my joke. I could never. I could never score against Arsenal. I've scored against the rest,
right?
But I could never score against Arsenal.
What about you, Craig? When you're at Celtic, like, was there a team that you struggled against for no particular reason, or was it just...
No, we struggled against Rangers for long periods.
Yeah.
And then we finally got over it in one of the big New Year Old Firm games. I think it was the 2nd of January, 98. Celtic hadn't won that game in that day for, I think, 10 years or something like that, and
right.
we managed to win it. But they were clearly a bogey team for Celtic for a long time because they won 9 titles in a row until the side that I played in won. So they were difficult for me. And no, but actually, we were the opposite. At Chelsea, we didn't have the team that Chelsea have in the last, or the teams they've had in the last 15, 20 years. But we always had a, funny enough, in my time there with LeBouf and people like that, we always had a great record at Old Trafford.
Really?
It was amazing because one year we went up there, I think it was 94. It was before Frank was there. We went up there with Big Erlen Johnsen and Dennis Wise, Gavin Peacock, with John Spencer and Matt Steen up front. I mean, they were about that height, the two of them. And building up Dimitri Karin's goal, I don't know how they never scored. We beat them 1-0. Went up the next year, we drew. Went up the next year, we beat them, I think, 2-1 with Dubry, header and Vialli goal. And that was at a time when they were successful.
See, more anti-Manchester United from you. Boasting about beating them at Old Trafford.
I don't know about Jan, but I used to love going to play at Old Trafford because it's a great stadium. But you always felt you got a bit of time and space because it was such a big pitch. When
right.
you used to go to Highbury, where Jan said he couldn't score, or he never scored against Arsenal, Highbury's very compact, and you know the old ground, and you seem to have no space and all that. It's just amazing. And probably these pitches, most of them are the same size.
Just psychological.
Psychological, the way the stadiums are and the way some teams play.
Jan, did you find that at Old Trafford?
Well, I love to come to Old Trafford, but it was a matter of, I mean, when Chelsea came there, they came with some kind of confidence going in there because they were Chelsea. I think that for the smaller team I played with, I had some good results there with Middlesbrough. When we came there with Barnsley or Swindon, when we came there, when we had that space, it was like, oh, do we really have this space? Should we take advantage of it? Won't they attack us soon? So I think there is a mental thing. We had it with the Norwegian national team. We had it with England. I could never lose against England. I can't understand why.
We'll bring that up. Craig, what's your thoughts on Hakim Ziyech so far?
Well, obviously, since he's came into the side, because he didn't at the start, not only has he scored, which he has, got off the mark, but he's, what I've really liked about him is his ability to pick a pass.
Yeah.
Off that right side.
Couple of assists today, and he seems to be a bit of a difference, mate.
Yeah, cutting in off that right side onto that left. The left foot looks like a bit of a one to me. He can just drop a pass in, he puts good pace on it, he sees the picture. There's obviously people that have been making great runs, particularly the likes of Timo Werner and that. And I can just see these guys make, I can just see him coming in and picking out passes. I think he's looked really, really good.
Do Chelsea have one of the best back lines in the Premier League now, Craig? Standard's not that high, to be fair.
I mean, not if we put Van Dijk in the Liverpool defence.
Well, he's not in the Liverpool defence.
Right, he's not. So, well, I suppose with Thiago Silva coming in and Mendy coming in goal, we know Chilwell's a good player at left-back because we've seen that at Leicester in the last few years. And we know young Reece James is quick and strong and he's getting better and he's keeping Azpilicueta out. So, yeah, I mean, Chelsea have gone early days from a team that was losing lots of goals last year to a team that have looked like solidifying that position at the moment.
Yeah, and why does Leeds keep getting hammered?
Do they? In one moment they have the best coach in the world. I grew up as a Leeds United supporter. I'm born in 67. Nobody told me about dirty Leeds in the 70s. I just saw the white shirts and Peter Lorimer all kind of them. So we're so happy to be back in the Premiership. But I think that we should keep steady. I think that this season, just to make sure they stay in the Premiership, that is mainly the thing. And I had one eye with that because I did the German Bundesliga, of course, today. But I understand there was a bit funny VAR situation as well, so maybe that could have changed the game.
Well, the VAR you referred to as Bamford, who was pointing where he wanted the ball.
And clearly your arm.
And it came in and it was obviously the part of the arm and the new rule.
The most of the arm, you can't be offside with the arm because you're not allowed to score a goal. So that I didn't see the incident, but we heard about it. But just going back to Leeds, I saw them for a bit last week against Leicester at home, where they lost. And I think a lot of teams might approach Leeds in the same way, because Leeds are going to, under Bielsa, they're going to go for it. Right? Mm-hmm. They play a high-tempo game under him, and they'll try and get the ball, they'll try and get possession, and they'll flood people forward. And I think a lot of teams will look to do what Leicester did last week, and that is just suck them in, and then win the ball, hit them on the counter. And Leicester did it brilliantly, and I think a lot of teams, not Liverpool and City teams like that, but most of the other teams will allow them possession and then try and hit them on the counter-attack when they're vulnerable, and he's going to have to figure that out. Or, because it happened to Norwich City. Norwich City come up last year and tried to play the same way that got them promotion the year before, and they were too open, and they got beaten most weeks and were relegated. So Bielsa's going to have to figure that out.
Final tweet.
Man United.
Yep, there it is. Jan, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's job safe right now?
The job of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is safe as long as Ed Woodward doesn't have to fire him to keep his own position and his own position among the fans. And he has to win some football games, Ole Gunnar. You always have to do that. But I think for the time being, he's quite safe. I think that sometimes the press overdoing also the wins, that is so genius. And we saw the Manchester United fans last week after the RB Leipzig game, and we discussed that in length in studio, Craig, you and me. We were talking about, you said both halves were bad. I think first half was bad. They ended up winning 5-0. Then they had the best coach in the world. And 1 week later in Istanbul, they had the worst coach in the world. So I'm not thinking of both of them are through. Now he will get a rest in hopefully in the international time. And then the nicest man in football and the guy I love to work with, I love to interview, is Pochettino. But of course, it was no coincidence that he was on the stage in England the last week.
It was on Sky, of course, Monday night. Yes, yeah, he's got nice new hair.
Has it?
I don't think it's new. What, I think it's just grown.
Has he bought it?
I don't know if he's got Antonio Conte with his hair, but I think it's all his.
Well, there's plenty of time to go and get it sorted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
this is perfect time because international break, you beat Everton. Like, no one's really going to be talking about his future, as opposed to if they lost at Goodison Park, that's all we would have been talking about.
Yeah, and he would have had a period of the international games to put it right. Yeah. If he'd lost at Everton and, you know, he'd have been thinking, am I preparing for this next league game when these boys come back from international duty? That's gone away for the time being. And as we've said all along, when the chips are down, for whatever reason, the players have come up trumps for him. But, you know, can he trust them to do that consistently? I think the answer is no.
Good stuff, guys. That is it. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more, of course, reflecting on Manchester City against Liverpool. Big game in the Premier League. But until then, goodbye.